The S550 is now supposed to be developed to the point where it can take out first generation hypersonics, like the supposed American Black Eagle or Dark Eagle that nobody's really seen, but it's supposedly there somewhere.
Yeah. So that's and again, I mean, some of the stellar performers of this, right? I mean, the S400, the S500, they're
Oh,
not
yeah.
called on for fucking drones, right? I mean, that would
Right.
be it's a, an absolutely unsustainable waste. But the Panzer, I
Oh,
mean,
Panzer is great.
the Panzer is you know a god of short range air defense when it comes to taking out drones. And now they've got all of these newfangled you know short range anti-drone defense like the Zuberer and the interceptors for the FPVs like the Yolkka. You know, Russia does not have a silver bullet or a magic wand that will take out the enemy's drones, right? And anyone who thinks that, oh, that's it, right? The drone war is over, you know, Russia. No. It's a continually evolutionary arms
Oh,
race,
yes.
right? With a 2 month turnaround window max, right? Between one side development, one side the other. But Russia clearly has all of the advantages. And you
Absolutely.
know, they do not, right? Make a big D, make a PR exercise out of every drone hit, the way a successful drone hit, the way the Kiev regime does. So that leads to a lack of understanding. You see a kerosene-filled drone, one out of 500, successfully breaking through and hitting an oil storage tank on the outskirts of Moscow. And suddenly Moscow is burning, and then the war is over, and the Kiev regime is winning. Meanwhile, the Russian drone forces are positively raping the logistics of the Kiev regime on the east
Yep.
side of the Dnieper. When you hear numbers like there's not a single functioning gas station left in Sumy, and there's not a single functioning gas station on the road between the highway between Dnipropetrovsk and Kharkov. And so on and so on, and it all keeps building up. And people are like, "Well, what difference does that make?" Well, the Kiev regime, first of all, fills all of its vehicles. They don't have some special separate military, you know, to fill up with diesel and everything. That's all done at gas stations. But also, they're drones. People don't understand this, right? Drones need to be charged, right? And in most of these cases, they're being fired out of trucks and whatnot or traveling, which means they need to be charged by generators. And how are the generators fueled? By diesel, right?
Oh, wait. I thought it was fairy dust. It's not fairy
Yeah,
dust?
fairy dust. Yeah, fairy dust. Yeah, no, that's Zelensky. He's fueled by fairy dust.
Colombian fairy
So
dust.
what this has done is that this campaign count, you know, it you have to really connect all the dots, but it has pushed the Kiev regime's drone launches in the past 3, 4 weeks back for the most part on the far side of the Dnieper,
Yep.
which gives both the air defense in Crimea, which was taking a beating for a while, there's no
Yep.
question. It's much more stabilized now, but even more so the long range towards Moscow and beyond. They now have another hour or two of detection and planning and interception time. And really, that does help make all the difference in the world. And you'll see, you know, everyone's still talking about that one, you know, again, six, seven drones
Six
filled
seven,
with
six seven.
kerosene for the Hollywood effect. Yeah,
Yeah.
breaking through at a refinery model. We're still talking about that. What they're not talking about is the every single night since of 300 to 700 drones that have been launched by the Kiev regime. To no one's talking about those. Why? Because none of them achieved any significant success. Now, let's not pretend that we have a magic force shield, and that's not at all what I'm saying. You'll always get a few through,
Oh, yeah.
right? And the NATO's surveillance planes and drones are just constant, right? Over the Black Sea, over the Gulf of Finland, probing out Russia's air defense, looking for the holes, right? That they
Yep.
can squeeze something through. And they'll always succeed, right? And then they'll find a new temporary window, and they'll have maybe a week of good success, right? Meanwhile, the Kiev regime is being hit nightly on a regular basis, to much greater effect and with much more penetration than the reverse. And that is the war of attrition. It's
Yes.
not the war of attrition on the contact line. It is the war of attrition playing out in the drone and missile warfare on the skies. And a lot of people just don't understand how far weighted in Russia's direction this is. And it leads to a kind of knee-jerk emotional reaction. Oh, they hit an oil storage tank with kerosene on the outskirts of Moscow. Putin's got to nuke Europe now. He's got to hit Europe. And meanwhile, the Russians are like sitting in their little mathematical attrition war box going, yeah, everything's looking good. Everything's looking good. And people don't understand that, right? And that is why Russia has not hit Europe, because the damage that the Europeans and the CIA, of course, and the Kiev regime is managing to do to Russia, it's not that it doesn't exist. It does. It's just so far less than what Russia is dealing out to the Kiev regime on a nearly nightly
Oh,
basis in response, that it fits into the math of their attrition and proxy war. There's no need to respond to those provocations, the entire purposes of which is to break Russia out of that box where they are winning.
it's tempting to hit them. Of course, you know, they have
It is.
it is.
There's the maxim, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And as a higher educated, I like to think of myself as an intellectual and empathic person. I can't say I believe in that type of philosophy, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you take my eye, I'm gonna take off half your fucking face, right? That's
Exactly.
my philosophy
I
on an
prefer to go
emotional
back to Sean Connery in The Untouchables.
maybe.
They put one of yours in the hospital, you put one of theirs in the morgue.
Yeah, there we go, right? Yes, on an emotional level, as a human level, I absolutely feel and understand that. But I look at the Kremlin and they're not humans, right? They have cold ice water. They're cold-blooded creatures that have ice water running in their veins, and they're capable of removing themselves from any human emotion and operating on that strategic level. And you inevitably be that, oh, Putin's a pussy, and then blah 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 from the Call of Duty warriors and the armchair warriors. All of you should thank all the gods in all the heavens and hells that they are that strategic, that they are exhibiting that level of restraint. And it's not restraint out of even a sense of, shall we say, gentlemanly rules of war or anything like that. It's because they know they're winning.
Yep.
And they don't allow themselves to be provoked out of that. And all of the frantic scramming and absurd propaganda coming out of Ankara, all the desperation, all of the disagreements, that tells me that is actually a sign of how bad things are going for them. And it flies in the face of what you're exposed to in the Western mainstream media on a daily
Oh, yeah,
basis.
absolutely.
I would simply remind you that for years you've been told that Russia is running out of missiles and tanks and air. aeroplanes and rations, and that they're ripping microchips out of washing machines and fighting Abrams tanks off with shovels, and the ghost of Kiev and the Kursk Fool's Crusade and all of this ridiculous, prevarications that you've been hearing for the last 5 years, and now suddenly you believe them? Why? I don't understand that. So the Kiev
Well,
regime, this
it's feel
whole
good.
air, this whole drone offensive, it's not that it doesn't exist. And yeah, Crimea took some licks. They're
Yeah.
still having some problems there. But that's some local logistical problems for the civilian population in Crimea that has actually endured far worse since 2014. And I have family there, so believe me, and I certainly understand on a human level what it is there. But we're talking on a strategic level. We're talking in an economic level in the end game of the war. And that's not going to make Russia release its death grip on the neck of the Kiev regime in Donbass, where it is right now, or increasingly in Zaporozhye around the Rehov, or even increasingly around Sumy, Christ's sake. So it does not, being subjected to Western propaganda, understand that the majority of what they're doing, it's 80% psychological and only 20% real. And that real part is the effect. It's not that it's not real. It's usually less than what you think it is from the mainstream media headlines. And unfortunately, that psychological effect, as far as I can see things, at least, my circle of observation, the panic, which is the goal, the panic, the psychological effect, is actually far more substantial among certain segments of the Western sympathetic, well-meaning alt-media community than it actually is among the Russian people.
True, true. It is an interesting when all this is going. I spent a week calming down some Americans and some Brits and other English speakers who were in Russia and all freaking out. Oh yeah, this are the Ukrainians really? A couple of live in Crimea. Ukraine's gonna attack Crimea. They're gonna come and get Crimea. How? You just stop and think about this.
What?
How are they gonna get? They couldn't get to the first line of defense when they had a force a lot stronger and better. Like, why are you panicking? But there's a lot of people that started just stupidly panicking.
They're still playing suicide games, working themselves up to dropping a few guys on the Kinburn spit again, just for the
Yeah.
PR and dropping a flag. Crimea, get out of here. It's absurd. It's not even worth addressing.
But they do play. I mean, they've got a lot of what can you say? They've got a lot of expert psychologists working on their side. They got 400 PR firms, and some people, I don't know why they believe them. I mean, after 4 years.
It all feels a certain kind of Groundhog Day repetitive. We had to deal with
Yes.
the same friggin' thing last year with refinery strikes, and the year before that with the landings in Krynki that were going to lead
Yeah.
to the takeover of Crimea, and then they'll be in the Urals 2 months after that, or whatever.
Kamchatka, Kamchatka, come on. And the Urals are just
Kamchatka.
like a week out later,
It is scary sometimes how they are able to provoke that. And what logistical effect, like on gasoline supplies, primarily in Crimea, a little bit beyond, but what they achieved, most of that effect was more due to panic buying, right? Among not even a majority of the population, but a significant enough percentage of it, that actually led to local shortages in some things in Crimea and Krasnodar and a few other select areas for a brief period of time. But again, it's when I say that 80% of the effect is psychological, the psychological can then have real world effects
Yes.
if people buy into it.
Well, you know what? Russia bought 400 tons of fuel from India that's made from Russian oil. Now that the Indians had a choice, you either sell it to Russia, you don't get any more oil. But the Europeans are all, ha ha, Russia's screwed. They're having to buy gasoline from India. But the interesting thing is, where was that gasoline heading to? That gasoline otherwise would have been heading to Europe, and a part of that would have been heading to Ukraine. And now none of it's heading there. And in 2 weeks, when those tankers don't arrive,
There's a lot of nuance there that people that do not understand. Actually, the way Russia's oil and refining industry is set up, it's not actually set up to produce and not to export, certainly, huge quantities of gasoline. Russia actually only barely makes enough gasoline for themselves. And in peak seasons like the summer, particularly with the traveling season, one thing the Kiev regime did achieve is the tourist year is done in Crimea, right? There is not going to be any tourists. That was a success, right? So, a local depression of the economy in the area that they want to rule the people there, real winning hearts and minds strategy. But
If bombing doesn't
so
work, we ruin
Russia,
your economy because
it's
we love
not
you.
actually unusual for Russia to import gasoline in the summer. It's not unusual. It happens. And now it's exacerbated this year, of course, by the drone strikes in the Crimea on top of everything else. That is real. But Russia produces plenty of diesel for its own military. And that's important to understand that these gasoline shortages are not affecting the supply of diesel to the Russian military in any way, shape, or form, right? They don't use gasoline, they use diesel. And Russia makes plenty of diesel. And where Russia may be have some downtime with some refineries in terms of exporting oil products, this is the complete strategic, logical fallacy of the whole intent of striking Russia's refineries. Russia just sells more crude. In June, Bloomberg, you don't have to take my word for it, Bloomberg just reported that Russia in June just sold, just exported more crude oil than at any time in the last 5 years. No matter which way you hit them, Russia is an energy behemoth. It is an energy superpower. It has redundancy. It has super powered repairs. It has spare capacity built into its system. And if you temporarily decrease, to any significant degree, which is questionable, its refining capacity, then it just sells more crude. And crude is a finite commodity that the world needs. And
Yes.
if you hadn't noticed, the US is lighting things up again in the Middle East, and the price of oil is pushing right back up there again. Don't expect any, damage to come to the Kremlin. I know if I saw a few people, the standard European armchair masturbators gloating over the fact that the price of oil was climbing down, and that meant that Putin's regime was about to fall. And I'm like, why do you keep referring to it as Putin's regime? I mean, you've told us how many times that he actually died five times over and has been replaced by clones every time since then, right?
Oh, listen, you missed the latest one. He's no longer dying from the 150 known human diseases. He
Yes.
is he invested $28 billion into living forever. Now he's immortal.
Oh yeah.
Or
He
this
that's
version of
because
him is immortal now.
he bathes in the blood of Ukrainian children.
Yeah,
That's how.
yes.
It's the Lady Bathory technique,
Yes,
right?
yes, yes. I'd say American maidens, but there aren't too many of those left anymore, so are European maidens. In fact, bathing in their blood would probably get you a couple new diseases these days, but you know. Yeah, you're right.
It's a war of attrition. No one should be any under an illusions that you don't take a few blows, that you don't take a split lip and a bloody nose, particularly when NATO is behind all those punches. But it is still remarkable, if anything, how Russia's strategy is still working to the degree it is. And again, a lot of people have, it's very hard with the propaganda war to properly gauge the metrics of an attrition war. Nearly impossible, right? According to
Yep.
them, there's 1.5 million dead Russian troops, right?
Every day, I think. I think
Every
you're
day.
the latest was the average Russian soldier survives 20 minutes.
So, oh, that one. Yeah. I mean, it's
Yeah.
just like,
When they're not eating each other. Don't forget, they're also eating each other. So that may play into
was
that.
that, were you just reversing? Was that supposed to be the average lifespan? Because actually, we heard very similar numbers about last year from the Kiev regime in those regards. But anyway, it's just all such nonsense,
Oh, yeah.
right? Because Russia press gangs are increasingly inflaming the local populations, trying to drag more people to the front line. Oh, wait a minute, no, that's not Russia. That's the
Did
Kiev
you see
regime.
the riot in Odessa? The videos of the riot in Odessa from the press gangs getting surrounded
Forget
by.
Odessa. We know Odessa is a Russian city. Lvov,
That
they're
was even better.
overturning APCs in mass in Lvov, the TCC press gang vehicles, and in Lvov, right, the heart of West Ukraine, on the Polish border, and that's happening there. But
But
tell me again about 1.5
you
Russian
got to
variant.
understand, in Lvov, they're the true Ukrainians. Those Russian mongrels, they need to go die fighting other Russians. We are the epitome, and now you want to press gang us? What are
Well,
you, insane?
and
How dare you?
the Europeans are step by step working their way back to forcing the Ukrainians that have already, achieved refugee status back to fight
Yep.
and die for their proxy regime. Now they're going to cut. No more men of military age starting next year will be allowed in. And of course, that's just the preliminary step to actually, putting them in shackles and sending them back to Zelensky's tender mercies.
I see hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians showing up in Algeria and Libya. Well, maybe not Libya. Maybe Libya too. Egypt, Morocco, wherever they can run to at this point. And they'll be knocking down at our door too. We want in now. We suddenly remember we're Russians.
There are already millions of
Oh,
Ukrainians here. There
seven or eight.
were before, we're talking 8, 10 million Ukrainians, right? Because there was already 5 million
Yes.
Ukrainians here before things even kicked off in 2022. And that's not counting the Crimeans,
Yep,
right?
yep.
They were already living and working here. And then once things kicked off even more, not only from the Donbas, but from all over East Ukraine. And of course, the whole irony is the only two places on Earth where a Ukrainian is safe from the Kiev regime's press gangs is in Belarus or Russia.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there was people don't realize that. I'm not even going to count Crimeans because they're Russian. I'm not going to count the people from the Donbas for the most part. But yes, we had about 5 million workers, and a lot of them with their families, and then another 7, 8 million after that came in, and a lot of them were coming in. Interestingly enough, they're going to Europe and. Doing a big U-turn, going to Belarus, and from Belarus going into Russia. So when the polls are saying we've taken so many people in, yeah, but about a half of those people went right across the Belarusian border and off they went to Russia.
They don't
So.
like to talk about all the millions of Ukrainians in Russia because that,
Yeah.
kind of degrades their whole narrative, The genocidal war that Russia is waging on Ukraine.
Look, we saw the same thing in the second Chechen campaign, where all the federal troops are coming in and just murdering you. Well, wait a minute. Well, why is the entire Chechen civilian population running north, into the hands of the federal forces, away from your Jihad International that you
That
pumped in?
the fact that the Chechen war was 70% a Chechen civil conflict is
Yes.
something that was never reported and will never be understood in the West.
Or the fact that after the first Chechen war, Chechnya was not in the hands of Chechens. Chechnya was in the hands of Khattab the Black Arab, the other Arabs, Indonesians, whomever they could pump into that.
International jihadi.
Jihad International. So yeah, that's another thing that they don't talk about. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. I just found out Kennedy's son was a merc for the Ukrainians.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No,
You
I
didn't
didn't
know
know
that?
that. How come I missed that? I was watching an older video of him with Webb, and he's like, "Yeah, my son, this, that." Oh, that's nice. Did he make it out alive? Damn, too bad. We'll try harder next time. Tell him to come back.
Can't make a souffle.
That's the truth of it. Mark, I want to thank you for coming on. And again, I love the Miami Vice vibe. That was it was a great show. It was a great show. I love that show. No, as a kid. Are
Never saw the
you
show.
serious? You never saw the
I
show?
never watched the. I mean, I saw commercials. I mean, I remember, but I have never in my life watched. I mean, there's a lot of other crap that I have watched in my life, admittedly, right? A lot of hours wasted, particularly in my youth. I never once watched an episode of Miami Vice. Not even a bit.
You need to download just one from wherever you can download. I don't know where they have them anymore.
I'm sure
Maybe
you do.
YouTube, but yeah, you need to watch it. It was for the 80s, it was a prime time show. It was high quality. Oh, judging for the 80s. But then my other one was Dukes of Hazzard. So I was
Dukes of Hazzard, Night Court. Come on. I mean,
Oh,
those
Knight
are
Court was great, but I was a little older by Knight Court. Now, Knight Rider, on the other hand, Knight
Night
Rider.
Rider. There we go. Night Rider. Yeah.
Yeah,
I did see
artificial
a few of
intelligence
those.
right there. They're, the car's doing whatever it wants, not what the driver is telling you.
Kit was certainly smarter than who was that? Hasselhoff?
It was Hasselhoff. Yeah. And then 30 years later, we're there.
Certainly, the Chinese cars are there. The Chinese cars are there.
Yeah. Well, by the way, the Ford, one of the criticisms about the Ford trucks, apparently they're developing a technology that can read your emotional state. So if you're angry or you're distressed, it won't switch the engine on because you're dangerous to drive. Yeah, so if somebody's injured and you're in an emotional state, your wife's about to give birth or something, and you got to get to the hospital, of course you're going to be on nerves. So the truck's going to say, "Nope, sorry, you're in the wrong state of emotions. You can't drive anymore."
My emotional state when it comes to cars is in a point of absolute zen where I have not driven a car in more than 20 years.
Wow.
I live in Moscow, the city with the best public transportation network on the face of the earth. I don't need no fucking car.
And for all that, it's been a couple hours since I drove my car last. I do like driving. I'll admit that. And on
I
that
was
note,
never I never liked it, and then I don't regret not doing it anymore.
I liked it. I liked it. I'm not a car nut. I don't look at cars and go, "Oh, baby, look at that exhaust pipe." Though I knew I had some friends like that in high school. Like, dude, you got the wrong magazine. Take the Playboy. Put down the car mag. Look at the Playboy.
We
But
all have our weird fetishes. Mine is my bird and squirrel feeders. Oh my God. Look at that Soika. Look at that Eurasian Jay. Look at the colors on that tail. I mean
at least it's not gnomes, yard gnomes.
yeah.
A lot of
Better
people
than
with
that.
that. I had a couple of neighbors who were like that walking by. It's like, oh my God.
Hey,
Oh, look, they got another one.
we've all got our human fetishes, you know,
Yes,
our
yes.
little foible.
And then there's the Epstein elite. They eat their little human fetishes. I'm not laughing at that. That's that's well, that is what it is. But on the topic of yard gnomes, to finish on something more positive. Mark, thank you again. Always a pleasure. Always fun. Everybody, thank you for joining. And if you've got questions, comments, praise, but leave the cursing out.
Gripes,
We'll fill in with
bitches.
yeah.
Come on, it's YouTube.
Yeah.
Humanity is what it is, right?
Yeah. And half that humanity and on social media is actually bots. So
Yeah, trolls, cesspool.
So everybody, and on that note,
I
thank you very
love all
much.
the haters. Love you.